This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here. T-Rex told me today he can't make it an hour ago. Thanks, T-Rex, for the heads up. And Jake Ellenberger is sparring today. He's sparring for his big fight for Kelvin. However, I do have a guest coming in, the supernova from Moldova, the beautiful, talented Marina Shafir is going to be here. I am excited. I'll talk about my week. I had a good week. It's just me talking to myself right now, but you know what? Shit happens. I had a show last week. I did Russell Simmons' All Deaf Digital show. It's a show. Basically, Russell Simmons is there, and it's mostly black people. Let's just cut it. In the audience, mostly black people. But you know what? I fucking rocked it like a champ. Had a good set, and then I got a meeting with Russell Simmons last week. How fucking cool is that? I grew up watching Deaf Comedy Jam. It was my favorite thing to do growing up because I had no friends really, so I stayed in and watched Deaf Comedy Jam on Friday nights. But I got to meet Russell. That's awesome. We're gonna be working together, and I got another show coming up. I got some good shit going on. I can't really talk about it, but whatever. That's always good to tell people on a podcast what you can't talk about. So that's what I'm doing. What else happened? Oh, I did a show. Another show in the hood on Friday night. It was actually like in the hood, and it was weird. It was a very black audience. It's not the running theme to this podcast, but there was a very black audience, and I'm on stage, and I didn't know that if you're doing well, they come up on stage and hand you money. They basically make it rain with dollar bills to the comics. I had no idea that was going on. So within 10 minutes of my set, I'm telling a joke, and this lady comes up and throws money at me, and I was like, wow, you know, it's a rough room when black people are handing white people money, but which killed. I don't know if it killed to you right now at home, but it fucking killed. So I was pumped, had a good week, excited about this week, excited about Marina coming in. What else is going on? My wrestling team is kicking ass. Yes, coaching. I got 20 kids that I'm coaching, and it's fun. We're looking good. We're looking good. It's my 10th year coaching, and I actually had a funny story that I thought you guys would enjoy. So one year, a couple years ago, the principal told me, hey, there's a kid with autism on the team, right? So I'm like, okay, all right. I never coached an autistic kid, but, you know, I got to So there was one kid on the team who was like acting out all the time and not getting, you know, just kind of out of control. So me and the coaches went out of our way to be super nice to that kid. Like, okay, he's got autism. We got to be dug. Turns out he didn't have autism. It was another kid that didn't know right from left. That kid was just being a dick, which I thought was kind of funny, actually. It was the wrong kid. So speaking of autism, Rory McDonald fought last week and did really, really good. He looked amazing. I'm kidding. I don't know if Rory has autism, although I did hear from a coach that he might be slightly autistic. I don't know. I'm not making fun of people with autism. If he is, that would be amazing. Imagine having an autistic champ of the UFC. Tell me that wouldn't be the best thing for autism and for people. Anyway, so our first guest, we have in studio, we have the supernova from Moldova is here. She's beautiful. She's tough. The people know her from Ronda Rousey's roommate, but she's not just Ronda Rousey's roommate. She's an actual person who is a great fighter. Marina Shafir, how are you?
I'm good. I'm chilling.
What's going on?
I just think it's funny how what you said, like everybody just thinks I'm her roommate. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, they just want to talk to me because they want to find out what's going on in her life. You know, like it's kind of they think like I'm a gateway. They completely look past, you know.
That's ridiculous. Well, speaking of Ronda, no, I'm kidding. So
exactly,
no.
That's usually how it goes.
Really?
Like, so speaking of Ronda, like, what do you think about the choices she has made in her career and blah blah blah? Like, I'm gonna talk shit about my best friend, like.
That's ridiculous.
You know exactly what's going to come after that.
Well, I did know of you because of Ronda Rousey's roommate. Everyone's like this. But there were pictures of you guys together. There's one famous picture of her like in your crotch, sort of, or you're in her crotch. Someone's in someone's crotch. Mm. And I think it's you.
Have clothes on?
You have clothes on. Yeah, I'll preface that by saying okay. You have clothes on. But I thought that was the best picture I've seen in a long time. So that's how I came in. But then I actually researched you, and you have your clothes on other pictures too. No, but you you're a great fighter. I was looking at some of your stuff. Let's get to the beginning of Marina Shafir, because people don't really know you, and I think if people knew you, they would like you, or I would. But you moved here when you were 6 years old.
Yeah, I moved here when I was 6 years old.
And from Moldova.
From Moldova.
Which is I didn't even know where Moldova was. It was like another planet or something. It turns out it's the poorest country in Russia.
Yeah, it is the poorest country, but it's
and in Europe, not just Europe, in Europe, the poorest country.
Yeah, it's the poorest, but it's the happiest.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, the people there are like extremely, extremely kind and like.
You weren't just six and everyone was just nice to you because you were a kid?
No. I went back to visit when I was like 15.
Okay.
And it was getting like really bad there. So, but when I went, I mean, I don't know about the crime rates, but my whole experience there was pure pleasure. You know, people are so nice, and they all, when they found out that my whole family was gonna, because it's a really small town that I'm from. When the town found out that we were coming back to visit, like, it was like as if they were getting prepared, you know, like.
Right.
My dad was really well respected in the town, and like, it was nice.
Now, did you know any English when you moved here?
No.
Was it hard? Did the kids like?
No, I was six.
You were six.
Or yeah. No, I was five. So I was like a sponge.
You were a sponge.
You know, I have no accent when I speak English. Everybody thinks I just have like a really New York accent, but there's a little bit of Russian in that.
Did you move to Brooklyn?
No, I moved up to Albany.
Albany? Oh, you're upstate. You're a hick.
Yeah. No.
Come on. I mean, not hickish, but that's a.
No,
I went
no,
to SUNY Binghamton.
We're like in Abercrombie and Fitch Town. There's no hicks there.
Come on.
No, seriously, there are no hicks there.
All right.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
We're a little bit ways away from like the open land and stuff.
So you moved to Albany. Did your parents get a job over there, or they just were like?
No, you got actually. It's a really interesting story. Like when we immigrated here, we came here because my grandma was really, really sick, and she wasn't getting the proper care. So we moved here, and through the Jewish community, like there was a synagogue that supported our family for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, like, and we had a rabbi and his wife really just, you know, help us out. They got us an apartment, and they got my grandparents an apartment, and they furnished it, and they got my parents, you know, English-speaking teachers. And
see, I didn't even know you even spoke English. Every time I see you on TV, you just gave someone the finger, or you had that like
I only knew sign language. Right?
I thought you had that very Russian stare.
No, a lot of people say sometimes I don't need to say anything because my face says it all.
Yeah, you looked very scary on TV. Not that you weren't attractive, but you looked like you were just like this like.
Well,
Russian.
I had a lot of reasons to be in kill mode like 24/7 on the show, so. That's kind of that.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, like when we moved here, we just got taken, like the local synagogue took us in.
Okay, so they took you in. And then, now where did you learn judo? At the synagogue?
Okay, no. Oh. So once my parents got jobs, you know, I was always like home alone. I was playing with like the kids. All the kids in my neighborhood were always like knocking my door down to come play outside because like I was always like getting all these races together, and I would like put projects together, like build tree houses.
Races like different cut like people actually racing.
Yeah, like
not the black bikes. People
no,
and
no,
the Asian.
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, like you.
Even though the neighborhood that I lived in, you know, there were a lot of Hispanics, there were a lot of Arabic people, there were a lot of black kids who lived around, and like we always just played together.
Right.
We always played together, and yeah, I just.
So you wanted to actually race people.
Yeah,
in the community.
We would we'd find like the biggest hill in the, you know, in the park or whatever, and we would see who had the most balls to like ride down it on a bike with no hands, you know, like it was just stupid shit that like.
But you probably won those things. I could see you winning every time.
No. I was the kid that would come home at like 1 o'clock in the morning because I just wanted to play outside all day.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I had to like lose a race a few times just to win it like the last time, like that's what I would do.
Oh, you would actually throw races as a kid just to set people up? You were a race hustler.
No, I was kind of like a game hustler.
A game hustler.
Because like I would, no, seriously, like we would build tree forts and shit, and I would just, I was the one who was always orchestrating it.
I like
was always
it.
Like the game orchestrator.
So where did jiu-jitsu come in the
Okay, so we're totally getting off track. Once my parents got jobs, you know, I was like, home alone, always like restless, and my aunt actually took me, she was babysitting me. She took me on accident to go check out this judo club, but she was just going to sign my cousins up. I was just there to watch. She was just babysitting me. But, like, the whole time that my cousins are there, like, wrestling around and, like, rolling around, I was on the edge of the mat, like, every time. Every time, like, I went with my aunt, I was just, like putting my feet on the mat and just, like, come on, let me do that. I want to do that. And then finally, you know, it was the cheapest thing around. It was, like, $20 a month. I started off just doing it on the weekends and then...
So how did you become a world? You became a world champion, correct?
No, I didn't.
You became a U.S. champion.
I was like a B-level judoka.
Really?
But I was a very talented B-level judoka who just happened to quit, like entering my prime in judo.
Okay, so because I heard, I heard you and Rhonda would go around beating people up in tournaments.
You know, it took me. Here's the thing: is like Rhonda when she hit her stride in judo, I was. Just getting my experience going. And I would lose a lot of tournaments. She helped me cry through so many, like, losses in the beginning until, like, later on I started finding my vibe and just winning tournaments that I should be winning. And
okay, so you were doing judo from what? From age, like, 6 to age what?
I started taking it serious when I was in my teens.
Teens, okay. Yeah. So you're in high school doing
like
judo.
Like 13, yeah.
And then when do you quit?
I quit when I was 19.
You were 19. So then did you go to college?
I did. I went to community college.
In Albany. Okay. And then how did this MMA thing happen?
Okay. So I quit judo and I ended up like getting waitressing jobs and whatnot. And then I started to learn how to bartend. And just for like a few years, I partied my fucking ass off.
In Albany?
In Albany. I partied. I started bartending, which was even worse. I was drinking like 5 times a week. And then I kind of, I started training a little when I started getting back into it when I turned like 21. And I was always, between 19 and 20, I was always like randomly showing up to the judo gym. And I was always like in shape. And I would just, you know, just doing whatever I want. But, right before my dad died, I was just playing around. I was finding wrestling class and like jujitsu class in this club that I would go to. It was like a 4-minute drive from my house.
In Albany?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just started having fun with it. You know, like some of the guys at the gym just took me under their wing and they were just like, oh, I bet you can't do this. And then I just started beating the fuck out of them, like using
with no wrestling experience.
With no wrestling experience, I just my pure aggression, you know. Like, yeah, I would get dumped on my ass, but like, don't doubt that like those guys weren't frustrated with me by the end of training.
All right,
you know. So, and then it just started evolving, and then my dad passed away, and then I broke up with my boyfriend at the time, and that's what I wanted to do was just. Get back to training.
So then Rhonda reached out to you?
Well, Rhonda was already, me and her go back, like we would talk on the phone at least, you know, 3 or 4 times.
But when do you move to LA and then live?
Well, here's the thing is that she was calling, when she started doing MMA and like getting fights under her belt, she's like, you need to fucking move out here. You need to come out here. But like, you guys don't realize that she was on my ass like almost every day. Her and Wetzel were on my ass every fucking day.
See, because like, I was on the impression that you were this world-class judoka.
Oh, no.
You had, like, won, like, the world teams.
Oh,
and
no,
that
no.
You were this prodigy. I think that's the people
I
don't
know. No,
think,
no. I was on my way to becoming a prodigy, but I had some things happen in my life where I just, you know, being or enjoying what you're doing is a big part of what you do. And I was finding myself spiraling down a rabbit hole.
Wait, like doing drugs? Or?
No, just depression. And I was getting fucked up and didn't care. I was getting drunk like 6 times out of the week. Like, you have no idea. Drinking boxes of wine in one night. Like, it was bad.
This is in high school?
Yeah, it was just, yeah, towards the end of my judo career, I was just kind of...
So you were the party judo girl?
Nope. You have to understand that, like, through high school, though, I did nothing. I stayed clean. I never went. I barely had five friends in high school. Like, I didn't get along with anybody. And you should see how many fucking messages I have from all the people that I used to go to high school asking me, how are you doing? Da 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 da. Like, all this stuff. Oh, yeah,
because you're like, now you're famous in the MMA world, at least. And then they all want to jump on board.
Yeah, and it's fucking sad because, you know, it's just fucking sad. You know, I just didn't. Once I started realizing that, like, oh shit, I'm a girl, and like, because I was a big tomboy, I'm like, oh my God, you know, my hair is really pretty. You know, I have really pretty features on my face. Oh my God, I look really good in this dress. People don't realize how much judo, like, negates in your life. You don't have that option to get pretty and go to parties and socialize with people. Like, especially at the judo club that I was at in New York, it was really cliquey and, like, kind of cultish. And I wasn't falling into that because I lived kind of far away and, like, I couldn't really fall into it full. But I was still close enough where that mentality still reached out to me and, like...
No, it's got to be brutal. I mean,
everybody wants to belong to something, you know? And I really wanted to belong to the team, but I was taken advantage of. And
how?
Not, like, sexually. I'm just saying, like, I was never encouraged in training. I was encouraged to come to training so I would get my ass beat, you know? Like... I was rarely doing anything that was good, and the coaching was so there was so much favoritism in the coaching that I was just a training partner, you know, and the only support I really ever had was from a couple teammates and my dad. You know, my coach just kind of, all my coaches always played favorites, and I grew up never being in a popularity contest. In my life, in school, like, my dad just always told me to just be the best that you could be, and that's who you are, you know?
So let's fast forward a little bit. So now you're living in L.A. You win your first five amateur fights in the first round. You're wrecking shop. And now you're sort of becoming this four horsewoman, part of the four horsewomen, and there's a lot of pressure on you.
Is there?
It seemed like there's a lot of pressure on you to be like the next big thing in women's MMA.
People are confused, you know. I learned from a very early point on in what I'm doing to like really not give a fuck what anybody thinks.
Well, good for you. I know for me, watching you, I was like, you know what? They're putting a lot of everyone's looking for like the next Ronda Rousey. They're looking at this girl.
I might be under pressure, like whatever people may think, but. I am still in the mentality where I have, you know, I'm okay with fucking up in public. I'm okay with fucking up and acting like a fool and being silly. And because what are people like? Because I'm really nobody.
Well, you're not nobody.
No. I'm just like, I'm saying like, I'm really right now, like my career hasn't blown up where people know me in other countries and all this stuff. So I can mess up and I can have fun and like, you know. The only thing I know is that as long as I'm myself, I'm never really going to lose any true fans.
Yeah, that's true. No, and MMA is such a fickle thing of people always looking for the next big thing. And, yeah. And the guy wins and everyone's on his dick and then he loses.
I can't wait till MMA fans turn into like wrestling fans.
Why?
Or like, not like turn into wrestling, like fans who are of wrestling, you know, how passionate they are of the wrestlers, no matter how many times they lose. They're still in it to win it. It's like it's like soccer fans. These people will be fans of soccer from the day they were born wearing their jerseys. So even if they lose like 18 games in a row, they are still dying with that jersey.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll happen because it's an individual sport.
Exactly.
It's a tough thing.
It's a tough thing for people to grasp.
Yeah, I personally like guys when they're in the UFC, and then when they're in the, you know, they're in the King of the Cage, and then and then I like them back when they're up there. I personally just I respect it. I respect all fighters and what you guys go through. Now recently you lost to Amanda Bell. That was a tough fight. Did you maybe think you underestimated her? Did you start believing your own hype a little bit? What happened?
That there was no believing of hype. There was none of that. I was confident up until the day of the fight. I remember the energy being really weird in the warm-up room, and I just something just didn't click. It was It wasn't really, you know, and I'm going to get a lot of heat for this, but, like, it wasn't really her knocking me out. It was more of me knocking myself out. You know, like, I just, something didn't click, and I'm still trying to figure that out. And before I can make any decisions, you know, any big decisions, I need to figure that out. So no matter where I go, I know I'm going to find her again, and I'm going to give her a really, really hell of a rematch.
Do you want my personal opinion on the fight?
Go for it.
Okay, and this is coming from a comedian, all right? Okay. So this is not, I'm not.
Make it funny because it's way
not,
too serious.
No, I'm not,
right,
I'm not a fight expert, and don't worry about it being serious, whatever, or being funny. I'm just saying, I'm not a fight expert. I don't really have any, I'm not that much knowledge. Okay. I'm just giving you my personal two cents.
Okay.
Okay, you are, let's say, okay, you're a world-class judoka, all right? Mm-hmm. Let's say that you're especially when it comes to female judo, you're up there. Okay, you're correct. I mean, you're a highly respected, or you're up there. You're in the top 10% of the judo girls in
everybody
MMA.
Thinks I'm a joke.
Oh, wait, in like judo?
In judo, yeah.
Everyone thinks
because
you're a joke.
I abandoned judo, and like they're gonna, you know, I'm gonna.
What belt are you in judo?
I'm a second degree black belt in judo.
Okay, you're a second degree black belt, which I think is pretty high. All right, so. You go into a fight and you start fucking boxing, okay? You're sitting there with a girl who's a boxer, or who's a striker.
Why, like, are you yelling at me right now?
Because why are you not?
Why are you yelling?
I'm not yelling at you. But why?
You are so yelling.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm sorry.
Raise your voice.
Okay, sorry. Why are you not rushing in? Like, and I hate to compare you to Ronda, but she does have a pretty good. She has this cool little thing where she just bum rushes people and then traps them in very close quarters, and then they can't do anything because she's got their arm or throwing knees or uppercuts. Why are you? Same thing with Manny. Last week, Manny Gamberian, when he was losing that fight to what's his name, he was losing that fight to Cody Gibson in a boxing match. I'm like, this guy's a fucking world class judo player. Why are you giving up your strong assets? Right? do I make any points here?
You know, yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, but you have to understand that, like, there was a want of being able to be a dimensional fighter in that ring. You have to understand the type
get
of fighters.
Get the win.
No. No, you have... It's the sport. It was more of my wanting of seeing how I could, you know, do something else.
Yeah. Do that in like sparring. And like do that in practice. Do that on your own time.
Okay. I don't really need a lecture right
all
now.
Right, okay. I'm sorry. I know I'm gonna get shit. People, what the fuck are you talking about? And I agree. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not in practice.
I'm not telling you that like you're wrong. I'm just saying that like I just don't view it that way, you know. And you can be on this podcast for the next hour and a half telling me what I should have done.
I'm not gonna do that.
I should have shaved my legs today.
Really?
Well, I kind of shaved them yesterday, but I could have shaved them again today.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't want to.
That's kind of gross. All right, no. Look, if you want, I didn't notice your hairy legs.
They're not hairy.
I
tomorrow
look,
they will be, look, but like, not, right, look, now you can't tell.
I know. It's like you going to my comedy show and saying, "Where did you tell jokes about this?" I'd be like, "The fuck are you talking
exactly.
about?"
Exactly.
You're a
so
fighter.
So just leave it alone.
I know. I'm just saying for
and move on.
Okay. I know, but listen, if I didn't have an opinion, right? Like, that's the thing about fighters sometimes. They're like, dude, the fans don't know, whatever. I go, listen, if you
are you talking about what's his name? Who just posted that article?
Gustafson?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that fighters have to realize that fans are the ones buying tickets. Okay? And that sometimes fighters are like, you can't talk unless you're a fighter. Okay, if that's the case, you're the only ones who are gonna buy tickets to your fights.
No, our
fighters.
You guys, so. But this is where the misunderstanding happens. Is that there is a personal goal in every fight, in every fighter.
Right.
So if you're not a fighter, you do not know that.
Okay.
You do not know that there's something that no one else knows about that you need to prove to yourself.
So you wanted to prove that you could box.
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
And I fucking can box. Okay.
I'm sure you
here's
can.
Here's the thing: is if you guys take a look at Amanda Bell's face after she caught my right hand, she cracked.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying you can't box. I'm saying as a wrestling coach, okay? I coach little kids wrestling.
Okay.
Okay, if I know a kid's got a killer fucking double, right?
Yeah, you're going to do everything so they can get to the double.
Kind of. Exactly. Kind of. And
but that is just one sport. MMA is all sports.
I know. I want to see.
I get what you're lecturing me at. I'm not about to defend myself here for my personal goals.
Okay, fine. Damn. All right. So you have a boyfriend, right?
I do have a boyfriend.
Okay. You have. And how long have you had this guy for?
For like 2.5 years.
And where did you meet him?
I met him in New York.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what does he do?
He works on a tugboat.
What the fuck? A tugboat?
Yeah.
The fuck is a tugboat?
He works on a tugboat in the New York Harbor.
Are you dating Popeye? I don't understand. Who's this guy?
His name is Justin Pierpoint.
Is he a fighter too?
He used to be a fighter, yeah. He brings in material for like roads.
Do you guys have crazy like Russian Bolshevik sex or no?
I mean, if that's what you want to call it.
Really? Is he Russian too?
No, he's not Russian. Oh. He's like Bulgarian or Belgian.
Oh, you have Eastern European angry.
Yeah, but he's mostly American.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's like his old ancestry.
Nice.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys don't like role play and like, no. You're like, tugboat guy.
We don't really need to role play.
Whoa. That's crazy. You seem very feisty. I could see. All right. So now... Now, some of the things that you said on... All right, let's talk about some of your quotes, because I was researching you last night.
Oh, God, no.
You said Brian Caraway is a weak, fake, nice guy. The man has no spine.
No, he doesn't have any spine. Some of the shit that happened on the show, and I've, like, taken it out of my brain, so part of me if my memory is a little bit off, but the feelings I got from him on the show were, like, he wore the apron, and Misha sat at the table and was like, where's my food?
Really?
Yeah. Like, pretty much. Like, it's a fucked up relationship. And, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he wore the... So she's just bossing him around and like...
Yeah, like he's in the kitten heels, fucking dusting away and preparing dinner.
And you couldn't have a guy like that?
No.
Yeah, I couldn't be that guy.
And I'm not all about like alpha, you know? Not like alpha female.
Right.
Like, I love to cook and I love to like... prepare a really nice meal and have everybody at the table and stuff like that, but I'm never gonna let a man take away like pride.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm never gonna let a man just fucking...
You want a man. You want a guy to have a backbone, and you have a backbone, and together you combine backbones.
Yeah, you need to be able to lean on someone who doesn't fall over.
Yeah, right.
You know, so...
So do you think that Brian's like getting like strapped down at night and she's like inserting stuff into him?
I wouldn't doubt it.
All right, that's the word on the street. Okay, so now you said Misha Tate is two-faced and has fake titties. Do you stand by that statement?
Some of the shit that I say. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So so we got that. All right. Well, so let's talk about.
Can I tell you guys a really funny story? Though?
Sure. Please.
So. Like a week ago, because if you really want to get to know me and just how fucking silly my life is.
Yes.
A week ago, I got invited to the honorary like Helio Gracie dinner by Huron and Hunter Gracie.
Okay.
And it's like this formal dinner. And it was actually really cool because they like raffled off a whole bunch of like cool shit. But we get to this, you know, I was staying at my boyfriend's house and we had me, Shayna, Jessamine, and my boyfriend, Justin. We went on like a 30-mile hike.
Oh, I saw pictures.
2 days before, yeah. It ended up being like a 30-mile hike in a day and a half.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that was one crazy fucking thing. But after, I was just kind of, you know, in sweatpants. I didn't have any of my clothes and I didn't have anything nice. So on the way to the dinner, I'm like, Justin, we really need to stop in at Target. I need 25 minutes for a dress, shoes, makeup, you know, whatever, accessories, because I have nothing. So I stopped in at Target, did my thing. We're on this way. I needed, like, bra, underwear, all that shit. I get to the dinner. Dinner went fine. We get home, and I put my pajamas back on, and I'm just, like, fidgeting. Like, my bra, I'm just fucking pulling it. Like, something's weird in my bra, and, like, it just doesn't feel right. And I'm just uncomfortable. So, like, going to the bathroom, I'm looking. I'm like, what the fuck? So I see these two buttons, like, right up here, like, right up the clasps. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then I just, like, I catch myself and I'm like, I can't believe you just fucking did that. I bought a fucking maternity bra.
Oh, man.
Because I was in such a rush. Like, I was in such a rush. And I was just like, fuck. Like, who does this that you're not even paying attention to what you're doing? Because I'm literally just ripping
Did your boyfriend see it?
Listen, mistake number two is telling Justin that I bought a maternity bra.
Wow.
You know why?
He thinks you're pregnant.
No, oh. Because he kept following me around the house going... Like the whole fucking the whole night.
I like that guy.
The whole night he's just like,
that's
mama. Like the whole time. And like, you know, in Meet the Fockers where the kid is like rubbing his two fingers together. Yeah,
that's really you got a funny boyfriend.
I have a hysterical boyfriend.
That's great. I like that. Now, does Rhonda have a boyfriend, by the way?
What?
Nothing. Okay. All right. So.
Exactly. This is exactly why I get called to these things.
No, not at all. I want to know about your boyfriend.
This is exactly why I get asked to be on shows.
That's bullshit.
What is happening?
Bullshit. Everyone's saying
Marina, did Rhonda put her jeans on? Word right is, leg word first
is,
or leg?
Word is you are the future of MMA. When's
Am
MMA?
I? Damn.
I don't know. I mean, if you
could
stick
be.
To your judo. All right. Okay. So, now, Lazy the Savage. Is he the first women's MMA male groupie?
What?
No, I know he's always with you guys, and like are you guys ever like gonna just like what's
no,
going on?
No, Lazy,
there?
Lazy didn't just appear out of nowhere. You guys need to understand that.
I know,
like,
I like Lazy.
I know we all love Lazy, and he is highly misunderstood. But like, he's been around since Rhonda's beginning,
right?
And really, my beginning.
Really, he was around since she was born.
He's like 20. The beginning of her MMA career.
Right, right, right. All right, but I'm saying, but what does he do exactly? Like,
he does his thing. He does what Lazy does.
Professional Instagrammer? Or something? Like, what exactly?
No, he's just really in touch with his, like, social media.
Yeah, he's very, yeah.
He's like, he knows that, like, he needs to promote himself, and that's what he does on a regular basis.
I see.
Yeah.
No, I like Lazy. Lazy's one of a kind. But he's always in the picture with your four girls, and I'm always asking, have you hooked up with any of these girls? And he's like, no. He's always
They're my sisters.
They're my sisters. Yeah. I honestly wouldn't be able to do that. I would feel very, I would at least
try. You would feel conflicted all the time?
Yeah, I would at least try for, at least, well, you have a boyfriend, and I don't know. Who would I try for? Shayna's a lesbian, right? Or she's bisexual, or I don't know what everybody is. Okay, all right, so everyone's something. Now, UFC fight night, we'll talk about that for a little bit. Rory McDonald looked great against Tarek. It was pretty close. You know, both those guys are tough guys to fight. Rory is, I think he is next in line for the belt. I mean, you got to say the way his last two fights of beating Saffredine and then beating
Jake.
Tyron Woodley
and
beating Jake. I mean, should he get the winner of Hendricks Lawler? I would say yes.
Absolutely. I completely agree. That kid is like putting in work. You know, he's such a he's so young in his career. And he's already such this like dynamic fighter, and he sees how to answer styles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if Tyrone got a little bit awkward in their fight and he handled it perfectly. Like, he knows when to just like stop anything from getting out of his comfort zone.
Yeah, no, that's what Jake was saying. Jake was saying one of these guys that just frustrates the hell out of you. A tough fight. Brian Caraway won his fight. No, he lost his fight. So he didn't get Tate to raise his allowance. Mm-hmm. But he looked good. He looked tough. Caraway's a tough kid. You can't deny.
Yeah, but didn't he lose unanimous decision?
He lost unanimous decision.
Okay, let's not go too far with that one.
But he lost to Asensio, who has a win over TJ Dillashaw, who's a champion, who's kind of getting screwed in this whole thing. Actually, I thought TJ won that fight against Asensio, or at least it was a draw. But they gave it to Asensio. But now it's going to be Cruz versus TJ, which is the fight to make. Who do you think wins that fight?
Damn. I think I need a little more time to digest that. Because I have to tell you why. Dominic was such a good champion, you know?
Yeah.
And he showed everybody that, you know, ring rust doesn't exist for him. And he fucking dominated his fight. He really did. I don't know. I don't know if TJ is going to be able to pick him apart as well as he did.
Yeah, it's a tough fight. I mean, I don't know who wins that fight either.
The mentality, you have to look at each individual fighter. The mentality of TJ and Cruz is, they have the same mentality.
Yeah.
they know they are both champions. Like, that's two champions fighting for, like, the championship, like, big time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be really interesting if you, like,
I like you on the show. You come in more often. You're the perfect girl. You're tough, you're pretty, and you're psychotic.
And apparently I don't use my judo now.
Well, I mean, look, that was a fight you lost. It's a lot easier for me to tell you how to win a fight you lose versus how to, you know, it's like anything else. I just want to see you win, and I'm one of these guys that always says to people, fuck putting on entertaining fights.
Yeah.
Go for the win. And, just win. And I know people don't like that. They go, fuck you, Adam. I'm not paying to see fucking some lame prayer. There are enough people out there that, like, Diego Sanchez and Joe Lozon, and who are always going to be in a scrap. Yeah. And if you have the ability to win and win clean and not get hurt, then do it. And that's how I look at it. And then
get hurt in that fight. No, really. Like, I didn't have a bruise on my face. The next morning, I had a little bit of I had a bruise on my lip, but it went away within a day. I was fine.
Okay, well, let me not get hurt, but lose the fight. Okay, I want to see you win. I want to see you win.
You know
fight.
What? I want to see me win.
Oh, okay, that's good. At least we could agree on the fact we both want to see you win. Elias Theridou, best hair in MMA. I love that guy. Happy he won his fight. Love that guy, actually. He's a good dude. He's a guy I think is an underrated guy. He won The Ultimate Fighter. He's undefeated. He's on the cover of romance novels. He gets tons of pussy.
You know who else is on the cover of romance models?
Who?
Fucking, what's that kid's name? He was on...
Brendan Schaub? Okay, I'm kidding. Okay, go on. Go on. Who?
What's his name? Hill. Joshua Hill from...
Oh, from Canada? No, from England,
from,
right?
No, from Canada.
Canada, yeah. Is he really?
Yeah, he was on. He's on romance novels.
What is it with Canadians and fighting romance novels? But yes,
that's the thing up there.
Gunnar Nelson, Rick Story. I knew that was going to happen. I called that fight. You know what? Rick Story is one of these guys that you know. I know the UFC. I'm happy they put him against Rick Story because he's a test. But I think that the same thing. People are going to get mad at me for this because their Conor McGregor is on fire right now. But when you put up there are guys out there like Rick Story, like Nick Lentz, even Chad Mendes, these tough, durable wrestler guys that are never going to make you, you're never going to look good against these guys unless you land a punch real quickly and knocks him out or some kind of goes in for a double. You land a fucking perfectly timed knee. These guys are just fucking bruisers. And, Rick Story found out Gunnar Nelson found out the hard way against this guy. And if with Conor McGregor, I know I'm a Conor McGregor fan and I believe the hype, but you put him in against a guy like Nick Lentz, I want to see that fight. I know the fans are going to be like, no, fuck that. He should get a title. I want to see how he does against a guy. These Rick Stories, these Nick Lentz, there's a certain breed of tough wrestler that is just going to make you work your ass off. And guys, I'm putting Khabib in that. And Khabib's better than these guys, but I'm putting him in that situation that you don't want. There are certain guys these strikers do not want to go against, and I don't blame them. But I wouldn't say Gunnar Nelson got exposed, but he just got to the point
where
he's
one step behind.
That's exactly.
He's one step behind, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah,
and that I think you're absolutely right. I think Conor. You know, it does make sense to put him in a title contention immediately because he's such, like, the hype fighter. It's so hard to take all, like, he has a following and he has a lot of people who want to see him fight consistently. But I would really personally like to see him go against, like, somebody like Nick Lentz and just one more grinded out fight. Before he gets a
But do you think
fight.
He wins that fight?
He's challenged in that fight. But I don't know.
Oh, come on. That's a great answer. I like that. I'm stealing that. He's challenged in that fight. What fight are you not challenged in? Against me and T-Rex? I mean, come on. Thanks. I appreciate that. Max Holloway won his fight. I was super happy for that.
I heard about that. That's got to be sick.
I was really, 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 really
happy about that, because Max Holloway, I met him in Vegas, and he's just a nice kid that wants to inspire people. He's got like three kids of his own. He's only 22 years old. I even said he's never pulled out of a fight or a woman.
He seems like mature when he fights. He seems a lot more mature in his fights than his, like, you know.
Than his demeanor. He's like, yeah. This little, he's like, not little, but he's the skull. Yeah, he's, yeah. But I was happy he won because I love Hawaiians. Hawaiians are the coolest fucking breed of people. I'm telling you, there's something about Hawaiians, they can take a joke. they love to get ripped on. And I'm happy for Max because also he recently got divorced. And his wife, I hate that, was super fucking hot. But he posted on Twitter and Facebook, "Hey, I just got divorced. I'm really sorry. I've been a tough thing." And he put it out there, and I thought that was very mature, and I thought that was very cool and very revealing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I would put it out there like that, but he did, and I give the guy a lot of credit. Yeah. And I'm rooting for Max Holloway. So we have James Krause. We have to call when we come back. After that, we're going to talk about The Ultimate Fighter, talk about Kung Lee being popped for steroids, Hector Lombard finally got a fight against Josh Berkman, Nick Diaz tweeted about Michael Phelps, says he's very disappointed in Michael Phelps for getting a DUI, which Nick Diaz wrote that.
Bad boys stick together.
Oh, so funny. Cody Gibson got into a bar fight. We got to talk about that.
Google me, bitch.
Yes. Look at you. Wow.
Who says that?
I like that. People are going to Google him now and realize he got into a bar fight. Good job. So we got James Krause on the phone.
It wouldn't be acceptable unless he punched like somebody like Justin Bieber.
Yes. Google me, bitch. I like that. Google me, bitch. He should make t-shirts saying Google
there
me, bitch.
There should be a song.
Yeah, let's do it. Can you
Kendrick
sing?
Kendrick Lamar and Wale. I feel like that would be the perfect fucking title for a song.
Look at you, bitch. Knowing your hip-hop.
I'm a hood rat.
Really?
Yep.
I am finding...
I just got way more dynamic, didn't I?
I am finding so much about you. This is crazy. The Eastern European sex and hood rats and everything
tendencies,
else.
You know, I'm just a fucking... I'm a mess, man.
You're a mess.
A mess.
You fit in well to this podcast. Okay. All right. We're going to call James Krause right now. So we have our first guest, or second guest. He's 21-6. He's a kick-ass fighter. He's been in almost every organization you can imagine: UFC, Bellator, RFA, Titan, WEC. He's been around. And how are you, James Krause? What's going on?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, actually, considering I just got beat up a couple weeks ago. So I feel pretty good about myself.
Now that fight against Masvidal, that was a tough fight. Now, what was it again about Masvidal that was so hard for you?
Well, I'm definitely not trying to take away from Masvidal here, but I just, you know, sometimes when you show up to work, you just don't have a good day. I couldn't find my rhythm, couldn't find my flow. I just wasn't myself. You know, that I got tired of that fight. I'm tired in the fight. Probably 3-4 years, maybe. I just don't get tired in fights very often. And, yeah, I just wasn't myself, man. I don't know. I didn't change anything, really, on my training up. I don't really know what to credit that towards. But, like I said, I just had an off night. And, you know, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed in my performance. I just, you know, I feel like that was my fight to win or lose. And I just dropped the ball, you know. Sometimes you just have a bad day. And but I'm not going to dwell on it. You know, I feel like I got better already from it, just mentally. And I feel like it was a great experience to be in there with somebody like Masvidal. So I'm ready for the next one for sure, man. I can't, you know, I can't wait to get back in there.
Hey, you know what? At least you still got in there.
Yes.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
That shit is so hard. So
I don't have the balls.
If I could give you a pat in the back, I would.
I don't have the balls to do that. So I give you a ton of credit, man. But that fight, I was watching that fight, and there was something about, because I was watching your fights last night. I was going through your whole career, and I'm like, man, there was something that you did seem a little flat. It didn't seem like the,
yep.
There was something off, and it was, I was like, this is not the James Krause.
Yeah, if you watch any of my fights, man, I'm usually good with my feet. I got a lot of footwork. I'm not afraid to try crazy stuff, you know, cartwheels or whatever. I felt like I weighed 1,000 pounds. I couldn't get my, you know, I just couldn't get my feet going. I just definitely wasn't myself, you know. I, like I said, I don't know what to credit it to. I think I just showed up for work, and I had a bad day. You know, I don't really know what to say or do other than, you know, just show up next time and you know, change my training a little bit, mix some things around, and make sure I show up next time. You know, there's no room for error in the UFC, and I don't got time to be showing up and looking like crap for fights. So
that's the hard thing about fighting. Like with comedy, I have a bad set. I'm like, oh, I got a set in an hour, or I got a set tomorrow night. Even when I wrestled in high school, it's like, okay, I got a match next week. I don't know. It's got to be tough for you guys because you have a bad night. You got to wait, what, 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah, well, that's what sucks, man. You know, it's not like you have a bad night. Like in the NFL, you have a bad night. You're like, oh, man, we got next week. Man, if you have a bad night in my profession, you get beat the hell up. You know what I mean? Nobody likes that. So, like, nobody likes getting beat up. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible deal. So, you know, I got to work extra hard. And like I said, I feel like I've gotten so much better mentally already just from that experience with Masvidal. You know, I know for 100% honest fact that I can beat any lightweight on the planet at any given day. And I know that I am a top 15 UFC fighter, and I belong there. You know, and
top 15. You got to be top five. What is this top 15? You right? You gotta have.
Well, I say that because Masvidal is considered in the top 15. He wasn't top 10, he's top 15. I know I can beat any of those guys. I know I can. You know, and I just, like I said, I just didn't show up, and I didn't prove to everybody, you know, how good I really am, and I got to fix that next time. There's no option there. I just have to fix that next time out.
Does that pressure, like, really, like, bug you when you go into fights and stuff? You know, like, you know, letting your fans down? Is that a factor?
I don't ever look at it like that. The way I go into fights, I don't get nervous or anything like that. The way I go into them is I think, you know, no matter what, you know, if I lose, my wife's still going to love me. My real friends are still going to be there. I have, you know, my businesses, my gyms will still be here.
Yeah.
So I go in with no pressure. And I feel like pressure is a fake thing. I feel like it's made up by people, by themselves. So, you know, I don't really put much pressure on myself. I go out and I don't worry about winning and losing. I go out and worry about putting on my best possible performance. And I know if I do that, I know I can beat anybody in the world on that given night.
Yeah, so you think it's just, you know, it's talent. It's drive and talent is what carries you in that cage.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go as far as talent. I think mental, you know, the mentality when you walk in there is
awesome.
To me, it's such an underutilized aspect of the game. I feel like everybody is so focused on physical talent, and I see it all the time. I see guys that are winning these fights that just shouldn't be winning.
Right.
You know, they're not as good, but they figure out ways mentally to push through and find ways to win. And you know, I try to do that myself. And like I said, it's not about winning and losing to me. The fight is against myself, and it's up to me to put on that best possible performance. I know if I can do that, I can beat anybody.
Totally agree with you, man.
Well, you've come a long way. I was watching, you know, you started off, you did karate when you were young, you wrestled in high school, then you dropped out of college, right?
Yes. And I would like to put an asterisk next to the wrestle in high school part. I was on the wrestling team. I don't know if you would call what I did wrestling or not.
Okay, you're on the wrestling team. Then you dropped out of college to become a full-time mixed martial artist at 19 years old.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it doesn't really sound like a smart idea, but yeah, that's what went down.
Now,
hey, what were you studying in school?
Business and psychology.
Nice.
And you were like, fuck that, I want to punch people in the face. And then when you were 19 years old, at one point you were an 18-1 amateur. You had 19 amateur fights, which is a lot of amateur fights, correct?
I actually kind of had, I had 19 MMA fights. I did a ton of kickboxing, a ton of jiu-jitsu matches. You know, I had a ton of experience. But when I started, man, that's all we had here. There was no pro, there was no amateur. It was just you fight. You know, sometimes you show up and you're like, hey, you know, oh, you guys are within 40 pounds. Let's fight each other. Cool, okay, awesome. Most of my fights, my amateur fights, were just me showing up with shorts, a t-shirt, and a mouthpiece, and was like, hey, if you guys have somebody that pulls out within 155 and 185 pounds, I'll take it. You know, that was how most of my amateur fights were. It was just how it was back then, you know. Kansas City is super, super young in this game, in the MMA game. It's not like, you know, on the coast where there's this saturated talent everywhere, man. It's not like that here.
That's exactly how Shayna came up. If you talk to her about her fights, that's the same way it was for her. back in the day, like she would fight on like
forever. She knows.
Yeah. Like she would fight on like one day's notice, like fucking 10 hours notice. Like she would just get a phone call and be like, hey, you want to fight?
That's insane.
Oh, it was, I mean, yeah, a day was great. You know, it wasn't uncommon for me to walk into a bar or whatever that they were having fights and they say, hey, the guy that's the second fight of the night just pulled out. Do you want to take that spot? And I'd be like, yeah. I mean, I can specifically remember having 10 minutes to warm up for a fight in my street clothes. They're like, hey, you're up in 10. And I'm
hey,
like,
I have a question.
What?
I have a question. So, you know, like that anxiety of like having to fight in one day and then the anxiety of like having to fight in a UFC fight, which one is greater? Like knowing that you have to go to a fight by like in the morning you wake up, you get a phone call, and then in the UFC you have like months of preparation to like, prepare for this one fight. Like which one
is
scarier?
That's actually a great question. For me, I don't like long training camps, and here is why. Anything over 6 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks for me is too much. I have I don't know if it's an OCD or what, but when I go into a training camp, my life revolves around that. I don't go out. I don't do anything extra. I have my life is scheduled out until that fight is over. And I just don't know how to turn it off. So by like week 8, week 9, week 10, if I have that long of a camp, I feel like I have to train every day and I don't give my body enough rest and I wake up and I feel like shit and I don't enjoy life anymore, if that makes sense. But it's 6 weeks. I'm sick of training for about a week and I know when I'm sick of training, it's like, hey, we're getting ready for go time. It's about time to go. So that's around the perfect timing for me.
Nice.
Now at one point you were the number one ranked amateur in the country.
Correct.
Now how much pressure was that going into a pro? Like that's gotta be real pressure though. I know you said they don't believe in pressure, but when you're the number one ranked anything, do you feel like, oh shit, like, Or are you just at that point super confident?
Well, I said I don't have any pressure now, but back then, oh God, I'm a different person than what I used to be, and I was kind of talking to you guys earlier about the mental side of things, and that's where I made most of my improvements, and that's where I credit my recent success, you know, to the mental side of things. But yeah, absolutely, there was pressure, but I think, man. It just wasn't the same back then. It wasn't the same feel like, you know, this is what I do for a living. This is my life now. But for me back then, you got to think I'm still a kid. You know what I mean? I'm 20 years old. I'm like, all I'm thinking about is, hey, I'm getting paid for this now. Like, cool, let's do this. You know what I mean? Like,
ballin'.
I didn't change anything.
So then you go out and you win your first 10 fights in a row. You just blitz everybody to the point where you get to the call from the WEC against Donald Cerrone. That's your first big fight, which is and now that fight you lost in the first round. I watched it last night. It was a tough fight. At that point, when you lose to Donald Cerrone after being the number one ranked, going up 10-0, are you just devastated? Did you think, oh shit, this guy's the real deal? How did you deal with that first loss?
No, he felt absolutely thrilled.
Oh, I know he felt.
What question is that?
Come on, some people you'd be surprised at be surprised the answers we get. People go,
I was okay. Like, what do you expect him to say?
That's the truth. Some people go, you know what? It was a fluke. It was that. Other people were like, I didn't leave my house for a week. Other people tell me they got blowjobs from their girlfriends. So what did you go through?
Okay, so back then, man, I was just, like I said, I was still a kid, you know, even though I was probably, 23, 24 when this happened, I was still a kid at heart, and I just, you know, obviously, what Marina said, it wasn't fun, but I had made it okay in my head.
There you go, see?
To lose this fight, you know, it was okay for me to lose this fight because I was supposed to. You know what I mean? So, and I made that up before the fight even happened. Like,
really,
hey, if I lose, it's okay. You know what I mean? And that's, looking back on that now, I'm ashamed to tell you guys that, because it's not okay. You know what I mean? It's not the way I think anymore at all. And it's taken a lot of mental training to change that mindset for me. But yeah, I made it okay to lose because I was supposed to lose that fight. You know what I mean? You know, to everybody else, I was supposed to lose that fight, so it wasn't a big deal if I didn't let anybody down.
You know what? Guys still have that. I still see that sometimes. You see it going into the fight. You go, well, you know, I'm just happy to be here, or it's an honor to fight this guy, or, you know, and then you're like, ah, shit. Especially if you put money on that guy, you're like, ah, come on.
Yeah, well, and I was so glad how my UFC debut happened, because I had been put in that that exact same situation again, and I had made my mental changes. You know, I'm telling you guys, like, I went through 2 years, probably 3 hours minimum. I would say 3 hours of, like, physical, personal meeting time, plus probably another 20 hours a week of mental training. I had a mental coach and everything, like, of fixing this. 2 years. And I got put in this position with Sam Stout, and guys, I'm just here to tell you, there was nobody that could have beat me that night. I was on, and I was not going to let that happen again. I mean,
you're kind of skipping, because a lot of these guys out there don't realize. I didn't even realize James Krause. Honestly, I knew you were coming on the show. I watched a couple of your fights. It wasn't until last night when I was doing the research on you that I realized how far you've come. Because after you lose to Donald Cerrone, you then fight Ricardo Lamas. You lose that fight. And now you get released from the WEC. Then you go to Bellator, and you lose to Toby Amada. And
hold on a second. There's an asterisk next to that, too. I cut 33 pounds in 5 days for that fight. Dumbest decision I've ever made in my life. I lost fair and square. We'll move on.
Well, okay. So then you go to Titan FC. Okay, then you win eight. Then you win a bunch of fights in a row. Then you try to get in the Ultimate Fighter, and you lose the fight to get into the house.
That was my lowest point of my life, was that day. The lowest point of my life was that when I got home from the Ultimate Fighter, and I thought that was it. You know, I thought I was done. I quit fighting for, you know, a week or two. And I said, man, I've invested too much of this, and I'm wasting my life away trying to make this work. And, I just couldn't do it anymore. It was an emotional roller coaster. I didn't know how to handle losing. I didn't know how to deal with it. And around that time is when I started my mental training. It was right after that, and I made a decision.
Now, what is mental training?
So I have a mentor, I guess you would call. He's a very successful businessman, never thrown a punch in his life. And he just kind of took me under his wing, man, and he just showed me a better way, if you will. He's, you know, how to handle things, how to be mentally strong and confident in yourself, and I don't know how to explain it. Just so many different principles that how to live your life by to make you not just a better fighter, but a better person.
Is it religious? Or?
No, what he's trying to say is that this person is allowing him to find more reasons to fight and be successful.
Wait, did you say religious?
He said religious.
Okay, so I'm gonna explain that. My mentor is extremely religious.
See,
but I am not at all. I don't believe in God. So we had a gap there for sure. But I'm talking about, like, the confidence in yourself and how to handle adversity instead of running from things. You embrace things instead of wasting energy on negative thoughts. Power, positive thinking, and the law of attraction, and these type of things. Does that make a little bit more sense?
Yeah, and manifestation of good things. Yes. And good
so you joined a cult, is what you're saying? You joined a cult? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
if there was more than one person, I probably would admit to joining a cult. I joined a one-man cult.
All right, so then you win eight fights in a row after that.
Finally some good shit.
You win eight fights, you go on an eight fight. Well, I was getting there. There was that silver. I would, if he had lost 12 fights in a row, I wouldn't be like, oh, then you lost this one. No, okay. Marina, there's a whole arc to this. So you win eight fights in a row. Eight fights in a row, but you talk about that fight with Sam Stout, which was a bloody mess. You look like a human tampon at that point, but that was a great fight. And then you go up against Bobby Green in one of the weirdest fights I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Where he kicks you in the balls like six times, and then you kick him in the balls, and then he kicks you in the balls, and then you lose.
Wait, I didn't kick him enough.
Okay, wait, what exactly happened there?
It was a ball-kicking competition?
Yeah, it was a ball-kicking competition, right? Didn't you guys just... So, you know, he kicked you in the balls, you went down, and then the ref stopped the fight and saying that he won.
Yeah, he... Well, I guess it depends on who you're asking. He for sure, if... I mean, this is everybody. For sure, twice, got a point taken away, and then literally 10 seconds after the second one, the time starts again, hits me again, and you can hear it hit the cup clear as day. Just turn your volume up. It's not a, you know, there, I mean, it doesn't take a rock scientist to figure this out. Hits my cup. I fall. So, I mean, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm hurting so bad, and I fall stomach down. Now, looking back on that, I shouldn't have fell stomach down. John McCarthy calls it. Bobby Green gets a win. I have a loss on my record. Move on, I guess.
You know, now, how swollen was your ball sack?
It hurt.
I mean, your ball sack was just huge at that point?
I guess every guy reacts differently to a nut shot, right?
Do they all just get nauseous? The last thing I was concerned about was how I was going to react to that. So I guess, you know, like I said, hindsight's 20/20. I should have, you know, went to my knee. I don't know. You know, I don't know how I should have handled it. They were all three solid shots. But at the end of the day, Bobby Green has a win on his record, and I have a loss, and there's nothing I can do about that.
No, right. I'm just saying it's fucked up that they didn't give you 5 minutes. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I was kind of upset with that too. And then he calls it a TKO, and I'm like, oh gosh, okay. You know what? I don't know. It was an awkward situation for me because I trained so hard for that fight, and I knew it was going to be a tough fight. And who the real loser is the fans. You know, well, obviously I'm the real loser. No.
You are not the real loser. You got kicked in the balls, man.
Yeah, exactly.
But
no,
the fans lost out because that was going to be an excellent fight, very exciting fight, and you know, it is what it is. I feel like John McCarthy made the best decision he.
No, he made a mistake.
He was just trying to protect your balls, I guess.
Let's call a spade a spade. He messed up. But then your next fight against Jamie Varner, it looked like a ghost attacked him. It was his ankle. He started twerking in the octagon at one point. It was very strange.
Yeah, you know, I guess it depends on, once again, I've had some drama now that you started talking about it like that. Jeez, I sound like a daytime talk show or something.
Yeah, I don't know why he's talking about this shit.
Well, but what about his career? Because he's a guest on a podcast. What do you want us to talk about?
I asked him how his day was yesterday and totally like had a great conversation about that.
Dave Krause, you have been through hell and back. And it's been
a long road, man. It for sure has. It definitely has.
And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but I did that show for the military a couple times, and then they wanted to help bring fighters over there, so I'm friends with Amanda, and she hooked you up. How was that? It was you, Shayna Baszler, Sean McCorkle, right? And who else?
And Zach Cummings.
Yeah, how was that trip?
It was probably one of the coolest experiences of my life. I mean, it was just so awesome. Like, you know, here I am, low to mid-level fighter. I don't know where you would classify me at.
A UFC fighter in the highest possible.
Yeah, sure, but it's not
possible.
Like I'm well-known, though. You know, I'm not like a superstar by any means. I'm definitely not superstar status yet. But, you know, I'm going over there, and I'm like, man, these people aren't even going to know who the hell I am. You know, but everybody was so cool. Everybody was so receptive to anything that we had to say or do. You know, we did some seminars. Everyone was so grateful. I mean, I'm just here to tell you guys that I was welcomed unlike anything else I thought was going to happen. It was just an incredible, really trip, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever been through.
Yeah, no, the military guys are amazing. Now, a couple guys, I think Cody Bollinger came on the show and said that when you guys roll with the troops, they were trying to submit you guys.
Oh, absolutely, man. I had one sleeper that trained. He was a blue or purple belt or something like that, and he trained a little bit out at Jackson's, and he tried to come in and act like he didn't know what he was doing and like drop for a heel hook on me first, you know, right out of the gate, and I said, hey, wait a second, this guy knows what he's doing. This is a tricky little bastard. So I had to put the screws to him for a minute, but yeah, it was fun for the most part. And Marina, you need to make fun of Shayna. Make fun of Shayna. She stole this poor guy's coat.
Oh, no, she brags about it. She's like, she walks around with the Puma jacket on, and she's just like, she says it every time she puts on the jacket. She's like, did I ever tell you guys about the story of this jacket?
Oh, hey, that guy couldn't, I mean, the guy knew he was going to lose. Like, he just was literally just trying to show off. He knew he was going to get smashed.
No, you have no idea. She acts like it was like this baddest ass moment of her life where she just beat the shit out of somebody to fucking get a jacket.
That guy,
and I was like, I'm like, Shayna, I know. I go,
submit a kid.
I go, Shayna, you are tripping. I know you're lying right now. And she's like, I'm not lying. And I'm like, all right, well, you're highly exaggerating.
She is lying through her teeth. That guy could barely walk straight, let alone do any kind of jiu-jitsu.
So, James, are you married? Do you have a girlfriend? What's going on?
I am married with our first child on the way.
What?
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Mazel tov.
Thank you guys very much. Hoping for a boy.
Now, when you were the number one guy in Missouri, were you just smashing box?
No, I mean, you know, I've always been a...
Married men don't talk about that.
What?
Married men don't talk about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They never talk about the tail they used to pull.
Oh, that's bullshit. First of all, you have not listened to our podcast.
Yeah, but there's a female on this podcast. They're never going to be like, yeah, man, I got so much pussy.
Well, he's married now, so he has to live vicariously through himself. Come on. Right, James?
Be a gentleman, James.
I've always been like a long-term relationship. I've just never had time to going out and get. I've never been a guy to go chase girls. Like I just never been like a top priority of mine. Like I've always been in like.
Even if you weren't that way, James, you're still doing the right thing. I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh man, Russian Jewish chicks. They're they are very, very opinionated. Okay, so
hey, you're the one who wanted me on the show.
I love having you on the show. Thank God, your show's a lot better looking now and funnier. Now, so who do you want to fight next, buddy?
Man, you know, I don't know. I don't want to give you guys the cliche answer of whoever they offer me, but I'll tell you the fight that I really wanted and I really asked for and I didn't get it. Maybe they'll make it happen now. Is I really wanted to fight Gomi in Japan, and they gave that fight to Miles, and I was asking for it publicly. I emailed Joe Silva about it, and I don't know why they didn't give it to me.
Maybe
and,
now you'll
they,
get it.
They gave it to him, Miles Drury, instead, and obviously Drury won. And, you know, so Gomi lost, and I lost. Maybe they'll match that up now. I'm not sure.
That would be a really fun fight for you. I personally think that would be a good test for you.
I think you'd smash him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the matchup, and I've always wanted to fight in Japan, and B, I consider him a legend of the sport. He's done quite a bit of great things for MMA, especially in Japan, and you know, I love fighting big name guys. You know, it's not like I got a lot going on, man. You know what I mean? Like outside of MMA, so like I have two gyms and an affiliate gym, so like I'm busy as hell all day, man. I don't have time to be, you know, fighting low-level guys. I want to fight the best, and if I can't hang with those guys, then I just need to move on and do other things. That's just how I feel about it.
Well, you can hang with them, and you will hang with them. And
hey, I have a question.
Sure.
that's my intro and everything. What are your opinions on if Miles Drury gets Cowboy Cerrone?
You know, I think that's a great fight. I mean, Miles, golly, the dude's been beating everybody. So
did you guys? I'm sorry to interject. I'm just really curious about opinions.
Well, let him finish his opinion
okay,
then.
Okay, sorry.
All right, go on.
Go ahead. Sorry, James, my bad.
Here, I'll make it short so you can continue. Sure, why not?
Okay, thanks. What was your second part?
No, like how Miles tore apart Diego in their fight. He picked him apart. He fought him really, really smart.
Yeah, Miles is good. He's a very intelligent fighter, and I think he's kind of under the – maybe he's starting to come out now, but I feel like he was under the radar for quite a long time.
Yeah.
You know, the dude's winning fights, plain and simple. He's top 10 now. Cerrone's – you know, I feel like Cerrone's – shoot, man, he's been – golly, he's been looking so good.
So good.
I used to think he was kind of inconsistent, but lately, man, he has been showing up every single time, and that dude's going to be hard to beat when he shows up. But – Jury seems to have an answer for everybody. You know what I mean? Like he gets these fights, and I'm like, this is the time. You know what I mean? He's gonna get beat, and then he just goes out and demolishes fools. You know what I mean? He finds ways to win, and he's a very, very smart fighter. I'm a huge fan of both of them. You know, I really am.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great fight. So where can people find you, James Krause?
Man, everywhere. Score, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them are the James Krause. Yeah, and then those are pretty much all my social media deals. So I'm pretty active on all of them. I always like to interact with fans and stuff like that. I try to write everybody back and make it a good old time, if you will.
Well, James, you're a great guy. You're a super nice guy, super great fighter. And honestly, I really respect the fact that you came all the way to the top, all the way back to the bottom, now all the way back to the top. And it shows you how tenacious, and it's very inspiring. And, you know, I think a lot of people can learn from a guy like you.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that a lot.
All right, take care. Have a good rest of the
week. Bye, James. Thank you.
Yeah, bye, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that was James Krause. Seems like a real nice guy. I'm rooting for that guy. Humble guy. And smart guy. He owns a couple gyms and businesses, and seems like he's got a baby on the way. I like that James Krause
guy. Life is good.
Life is good for him.
Yeah.
What else can we talk about? So, Dennis Seaver won. He fought a guy that took the fight on like a week notice or something. And then afterwards, Cole Miller said, "They don't let me at the juicer." So I like Cole Miller because he calls it like it is.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he doesn't care. That'd be a good fight, Cole Miller versus Dennis Seaver.
Yeah, I agree. He's a little spitfire.
Cole Miller is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even in his fighting style, you watch him, it's exciting.
Have you hung out with him before?
No.
What fighters have you hung out with that that you like or you don't like? Or
well, I've kind of had to hang out with people I don't like.
You have?
Yeah, and then like there's people that I've become really good friends with, like Uriah Hall, and
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's cool. And who else have I hung out with?
Kelvin, right?
No, Nick Diaz, Nick and Nate, they're fucking awesome. Gilbert, they're all awesome.
I like the Scrap Pack.
Yeah, like they're really fun to hang out with, you know, like easy people to just be yourself around.
So Nick Diaz recently tweeted, Michael Phelps got a DUI, and he wrote, "I'm so disappointed in Michael Phelps." He was obviously kidding because he got a DUI or some kind of...
So, yeah.
Now, does he do that just to be funny? Like, is he like Nick Diaz Comedy Hour?
No,
or is he just like...
I think Nick just secretly like wants people to relate to him a little bit and to be like compassionate towards him, you know, and... understanding is like a big part of the sport because there are so many misunderstandings. You know, like that's where fights get created and that's where the storylines start and end. You know, like you just... And Nick has been misunderstood through a lot of things, you know, and he's just somebody...
But he did that. I mean, he knows that's going to make people laugh that he says that.
Yeah.
And so he's just trying to like, okay, I'm just going to make my friends laugh.
Because he... Listen, when times get rough, sometimes you just need to laugh at yourself.
I agree.
I think that's honorable of him.
So, Cathal Pendred won his fight. It's funny, though. These guys, we're talking about Conor McGregor. Pendred's now like the Khloe Kardashian of Ireland. Because, like, everyone's like, you know.
He is pretty.
No, Khloe's pretty?
Yeah, he's pretty.
None of these pretty. I'm saying that he's not, like, Kim is like Conor McGregor. Everyone's like, Kim, or Connor, and everyone else is like a third stringer.
Yeah, you don't think Chloe's pretty?
Not as pretty. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't hit it, you know?
Yeah, but like, Kim is pretty, but she's not a badass. Chloe just doesn't give a fuck. She has no censor whatsoever.
Yeah, I know, that's great, but that's
and
not
that's
exactly
attractive.
What you, that's attractive, but we're talking just on strictly visuals. I would say Kim's the go-to girl. Really? If you were a dude, you'd rather bang Chloe than Kim?
Yeah.
Come on.
I would. I think that
maybe because you
want
to lift weights more.
I think Chloe has a nicer body.
Nicer body?
Yeah.
For like tug of war? what are we talking
no,
about?
No, I just, I don't know. I'm an athlete and I appreciate muscle and she's like built more of like an athlete if you look at her. She's definitely like way stronger.
For like the shot put? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Like a center?
Maybe volleyball.
Okay, so you'd rather hook up with her because she's better at volleyball.
Probably better at volleyball. She probably doesn't
as
run
like
away
the net.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Are you trying to make fun of her height?
No, I'm not. No, she's an attractive.
You're losing me here.
No, she's an attractive girl, but she's a bigger girl. She's an attractive girl.
Hating on her because she's bigger.
I'm not saying she's bigger. All I'm saying is that Conor McGregor would be to Chloe. It would be to Kim.
Cathal Pendred right now.
Would be
you
to
are
Chloe.
Sweating. You need
no,
to calm
I'm not
down.
Sweating. I'm not insulting her looks. I'm just saying that like. You know.
Yeah, but Pendred is still pretty.
It has nothing to him being pretty. It's just,
because you're a guy, you can't relate.
We're talking about who the focus is on here. The focus.
Okay, the focus is on Connor. We got it.
Yeah, that was the whole point. Jesus Christ. All right, so Bellator last week. Daniel Strauss won. He looks like Kimbo Slice in the fourth grade. I like Daniel Strauss. He won. The other guy he fought, I forgot who he fought. Who did he fight in Bellator?
Strauss?
Yeah. He beat somebody good. I think I think it was Josh Koscheck's old teammate. Fucking guy's name. But anyway, the guy had a terrible strategy. Strauss won. And I like Strauss because I remember Strauss lost a fight one time and I hit him up on Twitter, said, keep your head up. And he said, oh man, I was afraid you were going to roast me. And I'm like, Justin Wilcox he beat. Yeah, who's a tough guy. Battlegrounds MMA, which in theory, this is awesome. An 8-man tournament, single man tournament, it's one single night. You had Jim Ross and Chael Sonnen as the announcers. Chael was hilarious, by the way. They were talking.
I love Chael. I like really, really have learned a lot from that man.
What have you learned?
He's another person who just taught me to like not give any fucks and just do.
Yes.
You.
Yes.
Like I respect him so much because he does the right thing. And he says the right thing, and he never loses sight of himself. Like through the whole Anderson Silva thing, I think he handled it like a gentleman. You know, I think he handled it amazing. And if he lost some of those fans, they were never true fans in the first place.
Yeah, I just wish at the end he didn't resort to taking that, you know, HGH and everything else.
Ugh, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
That's fucking, I don't.
What, you're defending taking HGH? I mean,
he wants to have a family.
No, he admitted that wasn't the reason. You don't take human growth hormones because you want to have a family.
I know, I'm just saying. But you also have like, I'm just understanding. Maybe it's just the,
No, you like Chael, so you're kind of willing to look past other things. And I understand that mentality of like he's a charismatic.
But it's not what's good for business.
You can't have some fighters taking human growth hormones and others not. Either you say, you know what, everyone's allowed to do this or no one's allowed to do it.
I totally agree with that. Let's move on.
Okay, we can move on now. Yeah. On the Marina, this is the Marina Roasted podcast. So Marina calls a shot, says when she wants to move on, and she says
Listen,
she wants to move
I'm
on.
I'm only think of it. I'm only here for like what another like 20 minutes.
What is this? The countdown to when you leave?
Yeah, so I'm gonna make it about me as long as possible.
All right, that's good. I like that. So, but he said during the thing it was pretty funny. He had a really funny quote. So they were talking about someone's tattoos, and Chael said, "Oh, you know, Jim Ross was like, hey, have you ever had a tattoo?" And he goes, "No, I'm afraid of needles, at least ones with ink in them." Which made me laugh out loud. When he said that. Now, that whole thing though, I thought that I was looking forward to it being Jesse Taylor and Cody McKenzie in the finals.
Oh my god. But I didn't watch that fight. I heard things.
No, there was no fight. They both lost in the first round. So I don't know what you heard, but this person lied to you. But what happened was, so Cody McKenzie came in. It was at 170. He last fought in the UFC at 145. He didn't make 170. So he came in 25. He couldn't make the weight class. He couldn't make 170. He couldn't make a weight class 25 pounds over what he originally had to make when he made his last fight. And he had to get blood drawn to make weight. He had to actually, which I can't think is a safe way to lose weight the day before a fight, to get blood drawn. Have you
God
ever done
bless
that?
His heart. I love Cody. I could never, ever, ever say a bad thing about that kid. It's just, it goes against every grain of my body. He's such a nice guy.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate what went down that night, but I will forever be a Cody McKenzie fan. I don't care how many times he misses weight.
At 25 That's, pounds heavier than
I don't give a fuck. So I just love the kid, and
you can't help but love the guy because he reminds me of every.
Because I know him on a personal level, and I want to choose to look past those things. So
okay.
I'm going to because I have that right.
All right. Okay. Has your boyfriend ever cheated on you?
No.
Oh, if he did, would you look past it? You seem like you look past a lot of things that you don't want
to. Touche. I mean, that's disrespect. Cody has never disrespected
okay,
me.
Okay, all right. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that Cody McKenzie, I feel like, could be a great fighter. could be a much better fighter than he's capable than he's doing
totally
right now. If he took it a little more seriously. But I mean, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't care that much. Maybe he's just like, you know what? I don't want to have to train that hard. I'll just show up. If I miss weight, I'll get blood drawn, and then hopefully I'll win. You know, and it just seems like the sport is evolving past that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I think Cody McKenzie might have won UFC 1 or UFC 2, but now that we're at UFC 179 coming up, it's just not. It's not, you know,
looking up for him. I get it.
Yeah, but I do like him, and I will root for him, and I support Cody. And he's the only guy that I asked to be on the podcast who wanted the questions given to him before. And I was like, no, I'm not going to give you the. I'm not writing out the questions. He's like, well, I don't want me. People make me feel dumb. I get it. I like Cody a lot. So speaking of Cody's, Cody Gibson, who also came on the show. Actually, I saw him a couple weeks ago. He came to my comedy show. Super cool guy. He got into a bar fight a couple nights ago, and I called him since then. He's doing all right. He's doing well. But he got into a bar fight, and some guy's like 30 pounds heavier than him. You could tell that they're going to go in face-to-face. I think Cody might have been a little drunk. He told the guy, I'm in the UFC. He said, Google me, bitch. Then Cody looked away for a second. The guy socked him in the face.
Sucker punched him.
You know what? I'm not sure you can call this a sucker punch because he did kind of insinuate that there might have been a fight. Sucker punch, I think, is when a guy just comes up to you and just punches you when you're not looking versus like two guys. It was more of a sucker punch than it not being a sucker punch, but it wasn't a straight sucker punch.
You just made this way more difficult than it really
No, there's different qualifications of the actual sucker punch.
Oh, my God.
But it was a sucker punch.
So it was a sucker punch is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, it was a sucker punch. Okay, so you're right. It was a sucker punch. Right. So then Cody then shoots a double leg on him. And he was getting him to the ground, and the guy's friend sort of like lifted him up, and then he shot another double leg. Wasn't the best double I've ever seen. Look, if it was a regular fight, Cody would have won. Cody was a little drunk, it looked like. I don't know what happened. And it didn't look good. Hopefully he doesn't get any trouble or doesn't get cut because he didn't throw a punch. But it was just, I don't know, bar fight, UFC guys, people, MMA fighters in general should not be getting into bar fights because there's no winning. If you beat up a guy, you're going to get sued. You might break your hand. You could fuck up a shoulder or something else. You get hit with a bottle. You might get stabbed. If you lose and it's on YouTube, then you've sort of made the sport not look as cool as it is. It's like, oh yeah, how in a fucking street fight, this is what happens. Or,
well, you know, I know from like being, I can't tell you the story yet. I'm not allowed. Something went down like a week ago, and I'm not allowed to talk about it.
You got into a fight?
No, it wasn't me.
All right,
so like I just know that. You know, if you know, it's a fucking blessing, like, what we do and that we're able to protect ourselves because if certain people didn't, they would not be able to make full sentences today. So I...
It's a very strange...
Yeah, no. Like, I'm blessed to know how to fight.
Right.
I really am because there are a lot of dirty motherfuckers out there and you never know when someone is going to come at you with...
Have you gotten a lot of street fights?
No, I've never been in a street fight.
Ever?
Ever.
That's good.
I've never, because my dad always made me afraid of, like, what I would come home to. He never wanted me to lay a hand on anybody, ever. Because I was a lot stronger than I knew, and he thought I could really hurt, like, other kids that were my size.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, I was a kid, and I didn't know my own strength.
Like the Incredible Hulk. Like, you didn't want to all
for
of a sudden...
Like kid version, yeah. I was really strong. I started powerlifting when I was 13.
I think you need a better nickname, by the way.
No.
The Supernova from Adolva?
That should be entered in the best
nickname. It's too long. It's too long. What about
You're
like...
You're too short. You're too short.
Oh, well, I am too... Well, I don't really count. No, but no, I understand that, like, I just... It's a
fucking badass name. If you ask anybody, that's a fucking badass name.
Those are going to tell you that because you're pretty and they're scared of you.
It has nothing to do with my looks,
the
man.
The Supernova from Adolva is not that catchy. What about, like,
What? Who pissed in your Cheerios today? Seriously, dude. You're going to fucking... You think I'm just going to sit here and let you bash my fight name? You got another thing coming.
Did you come up with it yourself?
No, Shayna helped me.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, for a while, I didn't have a nickname, and I was just going to go on with my career without, like, a nickname. And then, you know, all the pro wrestling stuff happened when she came into our lives.
Well, Marina the Cleaner or something, or, like, the...
I don't clean.
What about Ronda's roommate? No, kidding. Exactly. No, joking. What about Marina? Have a beer with Shafir. I don't know.
That doesn't even... see, if you would have been like, Shafir, I would have thought
Shafir,
about it.
I'm trying to think of...
You know what it would have been? Like, when I was back in New York and I was fighting, like, out of New York and shit, we were going to do Marina the Standard, Shafir.
The Standard.
Like the vodka.
Ah.
And it's the number one vodka in the world.
It's not bad. All right, fine. The Supernova from Moldova.
Yeah. But the Standard would have been cool, too. I'm just saying, I could have gotten, like, an alcohol deal. You know,
yeah, the Standard's pretty good.
I could have been the Standard girl.
All right, fine.
The Russian Standard girl.
The Russian Standard.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But that one, like, went right out the window, so.
Evan, what do you think?
I like it.
You like
I
my...
I have a problem with it.
See?
This guy.
2-1.
All right, no more questions for Evan.
If you're telling me to rep a tiny country that nobody's even heard of, you should take it.
Fuck it's
a good
yeah.
Point. It's a good point. All right, fine. All right.
You know what Rhonda's mom calls me? You know what Rhonda's mom calls me? She calls me the Princess of Moldova.
That's not bad.
Yep.
The Princess of Moldova.
Moldova, because she thinks just me and my family are from that country, and there's no one else that exists there.
Which is great.
Who's the
also
prince?
Dude,
but you know what? You know
what?
They actually had some. They had some pretty badass judokas who have placed in some major shit.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not all that bad. Their athletics are on point still.
I'm sure. Yeah. You gotta be tough to be there. So how far is that from where Kyrgyzstan or those other guys are from? Khabib and.
Dagestan?
Yeah, Dagestan.
Dagestan, far away.
Yeah.
They're like southeast of where I'm from.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So we got Google Me Bitch. Hector Lombard finally has a fight against Josh Berkman. They're bringing him in from the World Series of Fighting. And, Lombard then tweeted that these guys are none of the Monticons will fight him. I'm not sure if you...
Pecans.
I don't even know.
There are pecans.
Yes. Now... And then but Berkman's a tough guy, and you can't look over him because you look at the last two guys UFC had brought in for WSOF, Andre Arlovsky, who beat Chaub, Anthony Johnson, who won his two fights. I would not, those were both, you know, other guys that were also UFC.
I am excited for Anthony Johnson's, like, comeback.
He's been cut.
What?
He's on,
Oh, yeah, that's right. Whoa. Over my head, I knew that.
He's not cut. He's just
suspended
for some kind of domestic thing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I didn't think he was cut.
No, he's not cut, but he violated some kind of restraining order, allegedly. I'm not sure when he's coming back.
He's just suspended until they sort it all out.
Out of the act of love.
Yeah, well.
I'm so bad. I like think the benefit of the doubt in everyone.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's my biggest downfall.
That's your biggest downfall?
Yeah, because sometimes you just let people take advantage of you and you don't know like that it's happening.
Who's taking advantage of you?
No, I'm just saying. Sometimes it just happens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I try to do that. Sometimes I go either way. I either like believe everyone or I believe nobody.
Yeah.
And I think you have to kind of be somewhere in between. Kung Lee got popped for steroids last week.
How did that happen?
Yeah, right. Do you see that picture
Jesus
of those guys?
Jesus fucking Christ, man. That is not natural.
Yeah.
It's like he did a cut and paste with his head in somebody else's body.
Yeah, it looked insane.
It was bad.
And he said he might have gotten HGH from a sauna. Is that possible? I've never heard of that.
Because he went to the sauna naked and absorbed it through his butthole, sitting on the benches. There's something in the wood.
Sorry. Did you do comedy? You should
no.
be. That was good. I like that. That's something in the wood that went up his butthole that gave him human growth hormones. That's hilarious. And right now, the guy defending him is Victor Conti, which is probably the last guy you want to defend you. The guy who went to jail for orchestrating an entire steroid ring to athletes. Oh, so he's the guy defending Kung Lee. Not a good idea. Not a good idea.
You mean the best idea.
Yeah.
The force is with that one.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Sorry. All right. Finally, The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know if you've been watching it. Last week, Carla Esparza beat Angela Hill.
Oh, I did see that one.
Now, that fight on paper doesn't make any sense. I understand it's a TV show, but one girl has like 14 fights, was the Invicta champion. Angela Hill, who's had a lot of Muay Thai fights, only had one pro fight in MMA. And that's what happened was
inexperience.
She took her down. She crawled on her back like a monkey and then choked her out.
I really wasn't expecting Carla to be that limber.
Really?
Yeah. I really didn't think she was going to be like that scrappy on the ground, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Carla, I like Carla a lot. She came to my show one time, got drunk, and jumped on stage. And anybody else, I would be very annoyed about that, but she was adorable.
So did she have a cookie in her hand while she did
it? Yeah, that's getting kind of annoying, the cookie thing. I get it. Cookie Monster. Like, a cookie, oh, you're right. The Supernova from Dough is better than Cookie Monster. Okay. It's better than Cheesecake Assassin. It's better than Cheesecake. It's better. What other stupid idea? There was the librarian last week. The librarian. They're not even in libraries anymore, really.
This is the library. You guys remember that and all that?
No, I all that.
That's the only thing I think of when I hear that fight name. This is the library. Sorry.
All that. No, all
I'm
that.
I'm on board. That was a couple. Universe. Did you ever watch all that?
No.
Are you too old for that?
Yes, I am old.
Yeah, decade on us.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the what I missed. All that. Isn't that girl like in fucking rehab now?
Her name is Lori Beth Gilbert, if I remember correctly. She was the shit.
She was the shit.
I thought that was Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes is in rehab.
Yeah, or she's walking around crazy. What was she in?
She's walking around some kind of wig.
What was her name? What was she in? What show was she in? Is she a Nickelodeon show?
Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes. Yeah.
No, but what was her show?
The Amanda Bynes show? I don't
know. It was the Amanda Bynes show.
I only watched all that.
Did you watch that?
Fuck yeah, I watched that shit.
You watched all Nickelodeon? By the way, I know we don't want to talk about Rhonda, but I heard she plays Pokemon 4 hours a day. Is that true?
When she has the time, yeah.
Pokemon.
She'll sit on the couch while like I watch TV. She'll just be in the corner of the couch playing Pokemon.
How do you even play? What is she, with like 3-year-olds? I mean,
No, she plays on her little Nintendo DS.
Oh.
Yeah, she's got like 5 Nintendo DSs with all different games.
That's cute.
Yeah,
I guess.
She's like a real, you know, she's a human being. She's just like.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, it's.
I don't know anybody that plays Pokemon past 11.
That's not true.
That's true for me. I don't know. How many Pokemon people do you know except for Rhonda?
A couple.
Do you play Pokemon?
No, I don't play Pokemon.
How come you don't play?
Because it's just not my thing.
What's your thing?
I'd rather not play Pokemon.
You rather play with tugboats?
I'd rather play with tugboats. All right. Choop, choop, motherfucker.
Is that what you say to him? Choop, choop,
no.
Fucker? Oh,
no.
That'd be amazing. I like the show. I don't understand why the girls are all being so mean to Heather still. They all seem to be like that girl, Angela Magana.
She's trying too hard. I totally get it.
Who? Heather's trying too
hard? Heather's just trying too hard. I've met Heather. She's a nice lady.
Lady? A girl? A lady. She kind of is a lady. She's 30-something.
She's a
lady. Yeah, okay.
She's a lady.
But she tries too hard?
I think she's just, like, trying too hard to relate to the girls. Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with it, but, like, she's just... I think, like, if she just calmed down, and I think she would be a little bit less misunderstood.
I understand that, and I hear you. It just seems like...
I just think it's getting into her training, and, like, her pussing out in training is not acceptable, especially on a show like that.
Yeah. You think she's pussing out or she's hurt? Couldn't she be hurt?
That's mental. Maybe she needs to talk to James Krause, a mental coach.
Really?
Mental strength.
See, that's the thing. I mean...
She's talented.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying maybe she needs to just...
Well, what if she really is hurt? That she shouldn't be on the show?
Well, she's a little too dramatic for being hurt.
Yeah.
You can't.
But Angela Magana going, and yelling and stuff is not making you look any better. The way she was acting like, nah, I don't want to hear you, la, la, la. It was like, are really, okay, even if she's annoying, you're being just
listen,
as annoying.
Listen, it is like how many women in the, under the same building with so much estrogen.
Yeah.
It's a cat fight.
Is it like your house? Is your house like that?
No.
With the four girls?
Uh-uh.
No.
No way.
Hmm.
No way. Everybody is like, we all balance each other out big time.
Speaking of which, so what's been going on with the Four Horsewomen in general? I know that like Shayna Baszler lost her fight, Jessamyn lost her fight.
I lost my fight.
You lost your fight. Are you guys jinxed?
No, we're not jinxed. We're all going through our own shit.
Yeah.
You know what? Like we're always going to be the Four Horsewomen. No one is going to be able to imitate us or top us. That's for damn sure. We stick by each other through our losses, through our wins, through our personal shit. Like, these girls, I've created such a strong bond with these girls that, you know, I know I'm going to be friends with them for the rest of my life. And they're going to be involved in my life. So all these naysayers and all these haters who are like, just give it up. No, you give up, motherfucker. We're not going anywhere.
I like that. Now, what do you think about people that say Edmund's training tactics? I know Jake talks about it all the time. Jake says those guys can go fuck themselves. Anybody that says that. He swears by Edmund, and Jake's been to Matt Hume. He's been to everybody. You know, everywhere. He's been all over the world. He's been to Rain.
It's honestly the same thing like TJ Dillashaw says. It's corny as fuck. It's corny as all hell.
Yeah.
But like he says, you just have to believe. You have to believe in what you're doing. You have to believe in who you're training with. And everything will fall into place. If you believe your game plan, you believe your talent, and you believe who's behind you, you're only going to go forward because you don't have any reason to look back. So he's starting to, you know, he's really starting to believe in himself. He looks amazing in training. And Edmund has a plan for everybody. And it's just up to you to finally to see why, you know, what... why he does it the way he does.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Okay, yeah. All right, okay. Now, this week, it's Heather against Felice Herrig. You know what? Felice, I thought, was going to be a lot more out of control before the show started.
Just maybe they're just not. No. Here's the thing is, she probably was, but they're not airing it.
Really? Come on.
They don't air a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes.
What do they not air during your season?
Can't say.
Come on.
Can't say. See, like, on our season, they showed pretty much a lot of the drama that was happening, right? But it was just really fucked up how production went by about it. And that's probably what's going to happen. I was worried that, like, they're just going to, you know, fuck it up and make people, certain people look not who they are.
Hmm. And finally, a lot of people want to know if you're going to Invicta, what your next move is?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm fucking training. I'm training every day except for Sundays. And I'm just getting back to who I am. Like I just, like I said, as soon as I got to the fight, my warm-up room didn't feel the way I wanted it to feel. And that messed me up a lot. So. That's pretty much how that goes. So I'm just having fun right now. I'm here.
You're here. You're on the show. You did a great job. I love. Okay. Well, I loved having you on. You did it. You honestly, you were my favorite guest ever. Honestly, a lot of fun. I'm happy. Next time you're gonna break up with your boyfriend. Honestly, I don't see it. I don't see it working out. Honestly, he seems like a nice guy. I just don't. I think
you don't see the longevity in the tugboat.
I don't. I feel like you're looking for someone a little more funnier. I just think that you know you need a guy. It just seems like I don't know. He doesn't seem like the one. What do you think, DJ?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, where can people find you? Where can people support you?
Oh God, I hate doing the whole like, oh my God, yeah, man. So you can find me on Twitter at Marine Shafir and Instagram at Marine Shafir, but like, it's just my name. If you know my name, you can look me up.
All right.
I'm there. I'm on all the shit. All that shit. Yeah, like
Google,
fuck,
Google
man.
Marina.
Yeah, just Google me.
I know
Google
Ben Askren was supposed to be on the show today. We've called him 27 times. He didn't pick up. So hopefully next week he'll be on the show. We have Khabib on next week, as well as Anthony Robles, who a national champion wrestler with one leg. We got a great show next week. I will be at Morty's Comedy Club in Indiana Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week. Morty's Comedy Club. You can find me at adamhunter.com or at MMA Roasted or at Adam Comedian. On Instagram, Adam Comedian. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you, Marina Shafir. You were a pleasure. Thank you, James Krause. Take care and have a great week. Thanks, bye Fox bye. Sports. Fox Sports, thank you, obviously.
Fox Sports.